All right, anybody want to join a life group today? Yeah? Oh, yeah, that was fun. It was fun. Well, we're going to get into the message in a little bit here, but you know I like to do a couple of things. Anybody else excited to be in church today? I said, is anybody else excited to be in church? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. You know, I like to do that before we get in. Before I do introduce our speakers and our guests today and get into the Word, I do want to look into the camera and like I always do and say a big hello to everybody that's joining us online. We're so happy that you're with us today. Hey, Revitalized family, come on, help me say a big hello and a warm welcome to everybody joining us online. Well, we're in for a treat today. I'm really excited about this. This has been 2 years in the making since we launched Revitalized, and really excited about this. We've got some friends of ours that are here and going to be ministering to us, and man, I'm pumped about today for a couple of reasons because of them, but also I get to wear a name tag today because I'm part of the host team, everybody, today. I was made for this. Come on, somebody, right? Come on, dream teamers. Come on, dream teamers. We were made for this, right? Hey now. Yeah, let's get rowdy. Let's let these New Zealanders know how us Michiganders really are. Come on. No, I'm messing. I've had the awesome privilege of knowing Jessica and Kevin actually for over 20 years now. You don't want to say it. Huh? You don't want me to say it. Huh? I met Jessica when I was 19 years old at The Rock in Anaheim. We went on a mission trip together and did a few different missions and ministry together. It's been awesome. And met Kevin at Bible College. And we work in the cafe together, right? Did we ever work in the cafe together? Or was it your sister that I worked with? I was working with your sister, that's right. Met Kevin, and he kept arm's length away from me on purpose. For good reasons, because, well, I wasn't the same person I am today, right? So, hallelujah. Thank you for redemption. I told you I got saved at Bible College, everybody. So, anyway, it was a good time. And so I'm a new creation, but I just want to let you know. Anyway, they serve. They're going to let you know who they are and some of the things that they do, but I did want to just brag on them. I've been able to watch from afar for some time, up close for a while, but from afar and just watch them make hard decisions and just keep going and going and say yes to every assignment that at least I know about that God has given them, and including taking their family with them all the way to New Zealand and making that home and just going after it. And so anyway, I believe we're going to walk away encouraged. We're talking about clarity. I think we're going to get some vision today, have some clarity today as they share and minister the word to us and share about what's going on in them and through them. Can we do this so that I don't keep rambling and take up all their time? And we can let's reset their timer here in a moment, because I took 3 minutes off of their stuff. And anyway, let's give a big revitalized welcome to Kevin and Jessica Harkins. Come on, let's.
Love you, sir.
And they're giants.
Well, I have the privilege. I'm just going to share with you for just a moment a little bit about what we do in New Zealand so that you just get a little feel of that. And then Jessica's actually, she's going to be bringing the word this morning, and she's so excited. It's such a privilege for me to be here. You know, Jessica spent 5 years of her life here, and it's such a big part of her, and she's talked about it for so long, and she said there's such beautiful people here, and now I finally get to see you. So it's just such a privilege to be here with you. Thank you for welcoming us. And Jordan and Rachel, just thank you for your love for us. Thank you for inviting us in with such warm arms. We just honor you. And y'all, this guy was rowdy. Like he's not lying. I think he did get saved at Bible College. There you go. We'll take it. And Rachel, you've done wonders with him. I'm just going to say, just the rough edges that have come off. I mean, come on. We've got to give glory to the Lord. But Rachel does deserve a little too. So, we are missionaries in New Zealand. We've been there for 4.5 years. Yes, that means we went through COVID there, and that was a journey, which I'm sure it was here too. But it's been an incredible journey following the Lord. Can we get an amen for that? Come on, it is an incredible journey following the Lord, whatever you're doing. And about a year ago, the Lord took our family to the South Island of New Zealand to focus on discipleship and young adults. If we had to narrowly say what it is, it's those two things. And it comes about in two ways. Well, our heart as missionaries has been to create a pathway for young adults too. who feel called to the mission field, who feel called to go out and take the gospel to the nations, to experience a cross-cultural ministry, to even if they want to learn more about working cross-culturally in their own nation, but just needing to be equipped to do it. And so we created a ministry called Missions Immersion. And Missions Immersion is for young adults between 18 and 30 years old. And it is a 10-month intensive program where we invite them to come over, hang out with us, and live in the community and disciple people in the community and work with us and get trained. We got a couple of pictures. Yeah, there we go. Can we throw up that next slide? The one with our first class. We had these four young ladies join us last July, and then this young man, Colin, he joined us just in February, and they have spent the last 10 months with us. And let's throw up the next slide. And it has been the next Missions Immersion slide, the one after the class of four. We've been focusing on teaching them how to start a house church, how to disciple people. We've got them living in the community in a backpacker's housing place where they are ministering, where they have started game nights, where they've done discipleship. And it's been incredible to see what the Lord has done and how they have opened doors, how the Lord's opened doors with them. And so we've been teaching them about missions and working cross-culturally. And then can we throw up the next slide? And the Lord has done an amazing work in their lives. And it's been so fun to see what he's done and how he's transformed them, given them perspective, shown them what it looks like to disciple, what it looks like to plant churches, what it looks like to go out and to reach people cross-culturally, how to have a heart for people of other nationalities. And the Lord's just done this incredible work. And these guys, they've just been doing it. This is them at their backpackers. And we got to take them on a missions trip to Fiji. Can you pull up that next slide for me? And the Lord did amazing things. We got to see the Lord work in power, healing people, getting to preach, getting to see people set free, delivered from things. I mean, it was just remarkable. And it was fun. I got to lead that and just see the Lord open doors before them that just opened their mind to his power and what he can do and how he can use them. And so that's a big part of what we're doing in training young adults to have this mindset, this understanding that they can go now. They don't have to wait till later, but they are equipped now, and the Lord wants to use them now to go to the nations and reach people. And part of what they've done with us is they helped us start a house church in our own house. Go ahead and throw up that next one. And last August, we started a house church with them. And you can see, this was it. This was like our beginning. This was just it was basically our team. It was just us in the house church, and we just started meeting and learning how to do it together. And throw up this next slide. This is about 2 weeks ago. The Lord is just bringing young people in. Our focus is with young people. We have from like 16 to 30-year-olds and lots of international students because the town we live in has a huge international crowd in it, even though it's a small town. And we tell them every week, you are not supposed to stay here. You are here to get equipped so you can go out, so you can do house churches, so you can disciple people, so you can reach the nations. Because we know a lot of these people, if you look at them, and we've got Nigerians, people from Bali, we've got a Russian, we've got people from all over the place. And we're like, you guys are going back, you're going elsewhere. You're going to go back to places where even like it's primarily Muslim, right? You're going elsewhere and you need to know, how do you do church? And so you're here to learn that. And we just infuse that into them. And it's just such a privilege that we get to do that. We're so excited. It's like, it's so fun. We're just like, Lord, how did you do this? Because it's not Jessica and I necessarily going out, bringing all these people in. Like, we do invite people, but these young adults, they've been just building these relationships And all of a sudden, there's all these young people hanging out with us. And we're just like, where did you come from? And this is amazing. Just the Lord is doing a great work in building relationships and bridges that we could never do. And so there's more that we do, more things that we're up to. And if you do want to learn more about what we're doing, we would love to get you on our mailing list. We have a sign up in the back, and we also have these cards. You can just get a little more information about us and what we're doing. But we just wanted to just give you a little sneak peek about what's going on in the South Pacific with us and how the Lord is using us in New Zealand. And so we just thank you so much for having us. It's time to get into the word, though. Can I get an amen? So I'm going to invite my wife up, and she's got a word for you. So I hope you're prepared to receive from the Lord today.
So this is our son, Cohen, and he just wanted to come up and say hi to you guys. So Cohen is 7, and our daughter, Selah, is 6, and she's back in kids' church right now. And like Kevin said, it is so fun for me to be back. To be back with you guys, be back here in Michigan, seeing what God is doing here. Like, I've just been overjoyed the last week. We came in yesterday, the last 2 days, getting to see what the Lord has done. And so thank you for this privilege. Thank you, friends. I'm so proud of you guys. Really, I'm so proud of you, seeing what God's doing. Thank you for leading this community and the vision God has given you for people to be revitalized. It is beautiful. It really is. So I do want to jump into the word with you. When I was emailing with Jordan, he mentioned that you guys were on this series on clarity, on getting vision from the Lord about how to go and to make disciples. And he's like, do you want to jump in on that? Well, I'm like, yes. Yes, I want to jump in on it. That's what we do. I just spent the last couple of weeks with our missions immersion team, because we graduated them, working on their mission statements, working on, okay, what is God calling you to? That's what we want to give them, a vision. We want to position them really to hear a vision from the Lord for their life of how they're going to go and make disciples. And so I love that that is what you guys have been talking about as well. And I felt like as I prayed, the Lord just directed me to Nehemiah. It's someone that I've been studying for the last number of years, that God's really been speaking to me through his story. And so I want to share a bit of his story with you today, as well as I'm going to share a little bit of our story today. And I'm believing the Lord is going to then intersect your story, that in the areas where you feel like maybe you feel a little stuck, or you might feel a little bit cloudy about what God is up to in your life and how he wants to use your giftings and your passions to go and make disciples, that in this moment today, that God would help us to see with his eyes. Amen? So let me pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that in your word, God, we see light, that we get revelation in your word. God, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for your love for us, for the fact that you do go before us, and that all of our days are already written in your book before they even began, that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, God, that we should walk in them. And we thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit, who is on the inside of us, to lead us, to guide us, and to show us things to come. We are not orphans. We are not those who have been left alone. We are not those that need to stay in darkness. We have a good God. And Lord, we thank you that it is your delight to lead your children. Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and that you delight in our way. Just go ahead and declare this today. Say, God delights in my way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to take you back to this foundational text that you've had for this series, Proverbs 29:18. And I want us to go ahead and read this together so we can all see that up on the screens. Okay, on the count of three, let's read. 1, 2, 3. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I love this in the Message translation. Thank you for putting this in the Message, because I'm like, man, I have felt that way before. Like, I felt like I've been stumbling all over myself. Like, oh, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you want? I just feel stuck. But then I've also had these seasons, and I can attest to the fact that right now we are in just this sweet season where we are seeing the things that we had pressed into God for begin to come to pass, where things that were stirring in us and we didn't know why they were stirring, we kept praying and fasting and asking the Lord. He began to reveal pictures and dreams and visions to us, and we're walking in them. In that last part where it says they are most blessed, like Kevin was saying, we do house church on Saturday nights with these young adults, and I was telling some friends last night, they usually hang out and I go to bed because I can't hang out that late. I got two kids that wake up at 6:30, and so they'll just be hanging out at our house, playing games, having dessert after we've done church, and there's just something in me that I go to bed so happy, like so filled with joy, feeling so blessed that I'm like, Lord, like we're breaking our lives to you, but you are multiplying it, and people's lives are being transformed. I just feel so blessed. And I feel like that's what God's talking about in this verse, that when we begin to see and we begin to walk in the things that he's spoken to us about, man, there is such joy and fulfillment and sacrifice. Praise the Lord. And we're going to talk about all of it today. So I want you to go ahead and open up your Bible to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, even though it's kind of the book of Nehemiah, is in the middle of the Old Testament. The chronology of the story of Nehemiah is at the very end of the Old Testament. So this is taking place about 400 to 500 years before Jesus comes. The children of Israel, they've been taken captive into Babylon, but we're beginning to see waves of them returning to Israel, returning to Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah is someone who leads the third wave back to Jerusalem in the year 445 BC. Now, professionally, Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the Persian king. So I want you to get in mind, this is a man who is very influential, okay? This is a man who is very wealthy. Like, Nehemiah has a good position. He is cupbearer to the king, right? He's probably worked very hard to be in the place that he is. And so we're picking it up, and I want to look at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. So Nehemiah is having a conversation with one of his brothers who has just returned from Jerusalem. And it says, "They said to me, 'Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire.' When I heard this," now this is Nehemiah speaking, "when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven." So I want you to notice Nehemiah, he hears this report that the people in Israel, in Jerusalem, that they're in this place of disgrace. They're in this place of, we could say, shame. And he hears about the fact that Jerusalem, this city that is so precious to God, that it has been broken down and destroyed, and it's not been rebuilt. And when Nehemiah hears about this destruction, when he hears about the pain of these people, I want you to notice that he doesn't say, "Oh man, that's really too bad. Like, hey, what time's the game later?" He doesn't say like, "Oh, that's probably hard for them. Hey, did you know that they got my Starbucks order wrong again today?" You know, sometimes this can be us, right? We hear about these horrible things happening in the world sometimes, and it just kind of like pings off of us. But Nehemiah, when he hears this report, when he hears about the pain, he hears about the situation at hand, it pierces him. It goes to the depths of who he is. And it says that he begins to weep, he begins to mourn over this. Now, one of the things that the Lord just began to speak to me about is the need for us to cultivate care in our lives. When we talk about mission, when we talk about going and making disciples, we can mentally agree with that all day long. But if our heart is not in the game, we won't ever do it. When it comes to our workers, our coworkers or our neighbors or people at school, we can mentally agree. Pastor Jordan can preach a great message on the fact that they need Jesus and we are a solution to that problem. We can agree all day long mentally. Like, who in us in here is going to say, "Yeah, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it's not really for me." We're all going to agree, like, yes, Jesus said, go and make disciples. But do we actually go? And often it's not a mental issue, it's a heart issue. It's the fact that we've not cultivated enough care in our lives because we live from our heart, don't we? Proverbs tells us we've got to be so careful to guard our heart with all diligence because out of it flows the issues of our life. What we care about, what we're passionate about, we live into. We sacrifice for. We pursue and we call other people to pursue. If we don't care, we won't go. But Nehemiah, you see in him, he had cultivated this tenderness in his heart for the things of God, for the people of God. And so when he heard about this situation of people that are, geographically distant to him, but in his heart, they're close to him, man, he feels their pain. he feels their pain to the point that it says that he weeps and he mourns. And this is not because he's just a softie. This is not because he's a weak man. That's the opposite. Now, here's a man who has cultivated such emotional strength in the presence of God and in prayer that he can carry a burden that God wants him to carry. See, there's burdens that we are all supposed to carry because you've been created, you've been crafted on purpose, right? Like I prayed, you're his workmanship. God has created you specifically for things. And that means that your heart uniquely is going to feel things that other hearts don't feel. You're going to wonder, why am I so stirred up about this, but no one else is? You know what's going on? It's because God's designed you to carry that burden. I know when we went to New Zealand, we began to hear about how New Zealand has one of the highest suicide rates among their youth than any other nation in the world. And we knew, me and Kevin, that was not just a statistic for us. But there was something that we're like, man, that's a mandate. Like, there's something in that that I know I've been born for this moment because I have a solution in Jesus for them. You might not feel that about that statistic, and that's okay, but I do. But I've got to recognize that in the presence of God, that that's mine to own, that's mine to carry, that's mine to live for. So we were in this season, we first, when we got to Auckland, we were pastoring at a church, and it was a beautiful church, and it was wonderful people, and we had made a commitment to be there for 3 years, but one of the things that we saw is that young people weren't coming. And it wasn't just that church, we saw that in many churches in New Zealand, young people just weren't coming. It's a post-Christian nation, it's less than 10% go to church, and even fewer than that with young people. It's their grandparents' religion. And so a traditional church building to them is like archaic. It's just, there's no relevance at all. And so me and Kevin, we started to get uncomfortable. Like there was something in us that just started getting more and more uncomfortable and at like dis-ease about what we were doing. Like we can't stay here. We can't continue in this mode of what we're doing because the people that God is burdening our hearts for, they're never going to come to this. And so then what do you do? We begin to have to ask some hard questions. And this is what Nehemiah does. He begins to ask hard questions, not of just the people around him. It says he begins to mourn and weep, but he begins to pray and fast. He begins to take this burden, this weight, this pain that he's feeling, and he takes it where we all need to take it, into the presence of God. God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? What do I do with this burden? What do I do with this pain? He begins to pray, he begins to fast, and God begins to birth something in his heart. Now, the reason that we know that is that later on in chapter 2, Nehemiah, he goes and he begins to survey the wall that's been broken down, and he says, I didn't tell anyone about the plan that God put in my heart. Now, when did God put that plan into his heart? When he was praying, when he was fasting, when he was taking that burden before the Lord and saying, God, what do you want me to do? God began to birth a vision inside of him. But the next thing that I want you to see, because we're going to begin to see him walk this out, is the posture of Nehemiah's heart with this plan that God begins to put inside of him. So I want to take us to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, early in the following spring in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. Remember, he's the cupbearer. I had never appeared sad in his presence, so the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified. I love this, right? This is just the reality of being a person who's about to step out in the plan of God, and you don't know what's going to happen. I was terrified. I have been there, Nehemiah. I feel you. But he didn't listen to that fear. But I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruin. The gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it please the king and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send Bob. Come on, Bob's a builder, right? Like, send Bob. There is nothing in Nehemiah's history that we see like he had this awesome background in construction, right? And yet he still says, no, king, I want you to send who?
Me.
When I studied this a couple of years ago, we were in process of transition And the Lord began to speak to me because I've gone before. Like, I love seeing Neil and Christy. I came when I was 23 to Kalamazoo to help partner with them and partner with Jordan and Denise in planting The Rock Kalamazoo. And when I was 23, I made that move from Anaheim out here. And it was a big decision to do that. But do you know how much stuff I had at that point in my life? It fit in the back of Neil's car, okay? That's how much stuff, because I drove his car from Anaheim to Kalamazoo. I didn't have a lot, okay? I'm just being honest. It wasn't that difficult to transfer my life somewhere else in the call of God. But I'm not 23 anymore, all right? I am 41 now. It's been a minute, right, since we did that. And when we got to this point where the Lord called us to go to a new city in New Zealand, we had already moved our kids to this new city. They were in great schools. We had a house. We had a whole lot of furniture in that house, right? We had cars. We had financial responsibilities. We had obligations to different ministries. And here we feel this burden and this stirring that God is telling us to go and to move to this new city where how many people did we know there? No one, okay? We knew no one in this city. And I was just realizing, man, they're in different seasons of life. Sacrifice is different. And there becomes a temptation, now that I can mend my middle age, that I can say, is that you can start hiding behind the blessings. Like, God gave me that man. I am so thankful for him. It's part of why I think he called me to move back to California. About 16 months after I moved back to California, I met Kevin. Right? He gave me this man. He gave me two amazing children. He gave me, you know, the home, the cars we have. But none of that can justify me from not putting my life on the altar. And see here, Nehemiah is this wealthy, influential man. And it could be so easy for him to pray and say, God, send someone who's young, right? Send someone who's free. Send someone who doesn't have like the influence that I've accrued. But he doesn't. He says, God, all that I am, all that I've acquired, all the experience, all the influence, all of it, send me. I'm willing to go. Like, oh God, that is what I want to be. At 23, at 33, 43, 53, 63, 73, and as many years as God will give me, I want to live my life fully surrendered, because how can I call people to give their life to Jesus when I'm holding things off the table, right? And he is faithful. Like, he is faithful. We saw him as we moved all of our family down there. It was a journey, I'll tell you that. It was a couple years of processing it, of kind of coming to a place of blessing with everyone that we were associated with to do it, of getting rid of things, right, and moving. But as soon as we planted and starting putting our hand to the plow, it was like, man, the blessing of the Lord was there. And that's what Nehemiah found as well. When he put himself on the altar, when he began to make these big asks of the king, in retrospect, he says, man, the good hand of the Lord was upon me. The king just started giving him favor. Who else would have been able to ask the king? And I'm not reading it, but he begins to ask him for letters to supply the lumber to rebuild the wall. He had the position that was needed for that moment, but he had to leverage it, right? Just like Esther, right? For this moment, for this time, the degree that you have, the work experience that you have, the network that you have, all of it has to stay on the altar. God, whatever you want to do, you made me a nurse for this moment, right? You made me a businessman for this moment. God will not waste anything in our lives as long as we keep it on the altar. I remember before we had the invitation to go to New Zealand, the first place that we were invited to go was Nigeria. That was the first place that we were invited to go to. And I remember praying over it. Cohen and Selah were about 2 and 1 at that time. And Nigeria is an amazing country, but it's not the safest country for a family. And so I remember praying over this and saying, God, like, should we go? And I remember the Lord telling me, be willing to say yes. And I'm like, am I not willing to say yes? Like, why am I? And I realized I had to spend some time processing this, that I was happy to go. Like, that was an easy thing. I traveled a lot. I wasn't afraid. I'm not afraid for Kevin, but I had a 3 and a 1-year-old. And there was something in me that was like, oh, God, you want me to take my 3 and 1-year-old to Nigeria? And I had to learn in that moment just a new thing to put on the altar. It was a new thing for me as a young mom, how to put my kids on the altar. I knew how to put myself, right? Even my finances, those weren't big deals, but putting my kids on. There's different seasons of our life. The Holy Spirit will provoke us and say, no, that too. That's got to go on the altar as well. And so Nehemiah did. He put his whole self on the altar before the Lord and found the favor of God on him to go and to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. But do you know that he was not the only, not everyone was excited. Not everyone was excited about him going to fulfill this vision and call that God had given him. And I want to take us in Nehemiah. I want to take us in chapter 2. And we're going to take a look at verse 10. So in Nehemiah 2:10, it says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. They were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Whenever God calls you to begin to make disciples, and again, this could be in any arena that he's calling you to do it, because every sphere of our life, we're disciple makers. You don't like take that hat off when you go play basketball. Like, you're still a disciple maker. And I love that video, by the way, right, about life groups, like that call to that. Me and Kevin, we've been living into that ourselves. I've been playing soccer this last year. I did it as a kid, but now I'm in a women's league back in Nelson. Kevin does triathlons, and we're just realizing, like, God, everything about us, even our passions and our hobbies, we want to use them to be disciple makers. And so in any area where you begin to do that, you begin to say, okay, I'm going to be a disciple maker in my neighborhood, in my school, wherever it might be. You are seeking the well-being of people. That's what we're doing. We're seeking their well-being, that they would be saved, healed, delivered, revitalized, right? We're seeking their well-being. But we cannot be surprised when we begin to seek the well-being of the people that there's going to be enemies around us, usually mostly inside of us, that are like, what are you doing? This is a bad idea, right? You should not go rebuild the wall, right? Like, who do you think you are? Listen, as they continue in chapter 2, verse 19, it says, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab heard of this plan, they scoffed contemptuously. This is like they were making fun of. They were laughing at. They scoffed contemptuously, saying this, what are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king, they asked. And I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. But you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. What are you doing? See, when we begin to step out and we begin to pursue the things that God's calling us to do, to reach the people, reach those young moms around you, reach those guys who are in the correctional facility, whatever it is, there's going to be those voices that come up that are like, what are you doing? There's going to be those enemies in here and even externally that begin to question and say, who do you think you are? You don't have experience for this. Nehemiah wasn't in construction. But I love how Nehemiah shut down the arguments. He didn't sit down and have tea with them. He refused actually to sit at the table with these guys. Repeatedly, all throughout the book of Nehemiah, they keep inviting him to come and sit down with them and discuss it. And he says, no, I'm not having that conversation. I'm not having the conversation about me not being good enough. I'm not having the conversation about me, you know, messing up in my past. I'm not having the conversation. I'm only going to keep focused on what God has said and the vision that he has given me to go and to rebuild the wall, to go and make disciples. That is the only conversation I have. And Nehemiah doesn't boast about himself. Whenever you look to yourself for your own validation, it will fail. But Nehemiah says, no, I am a servant of the living God, and he is the one who's going to give me success. When you begin to run after the vision that God begins to put in your heart, you got to continually come back to who God is in you and what he's called you to. This last week, I was studying about David and Goliath with some of our incoming class of missions immersion students. And do you know when David went after Goliath, he had to go through three different people telling him that he couldn't do it. Like Nehemiah, it started with just a feeling of frustration, right? He came into the camp and he's like, why isn't anyone taking down this giant, right? He's irritated. But that irritation was the Holy Spirit provoking him to do something. And then like in Nehemiah, he doesn't say, well, you should go do that. He says, I will go do it. But then also in addition, he had his brother tell him he couldn't do it. He had Saul tell him he couldn't do it. And he had Goliath tell him he couldn't do it. But he didn't listen to those voices. You always have a choice of what voices you listen to. You always have a choice. Are you going to listen to the voice of your covenant-keeping God who promises to be on your side? Or are you going to listen to the voice of self-doubt? Or the doubt that comes externally from others? I don't know about you, but I don't want to listen to those voices. I don't want to listen to Sanballat. I don't want to listen to Tobias. But I have had to wrestle with those voices before. In the quiet, in the time with Jesus, had to recognize that those voices were speaking loudly to me, and I needed to tell them, like Nehemiah, you have no claim on my life. You have no inheritance with me. This is who I am, and this is what God's called me to do, and I will not bow my knee in fear. So today, as we come before the Lord, and we're talking about vision, I just want to encourage you in these three things that we've gone over today. First is this, is that there is a burden that you are supposed to carry. And maybe you need to wrestle with the Lord and spend some time with him. I had some reflection questions that I won't have them put up, but one is just, what does cause you joy and what does cause you pain? Because if you are a person who is keeping yourself in the presence of God and in the word and you've cultivated care in your heart, you need to listen. When the Holy Spirit, through those things, begins to burden you or begins to ignite something on the inside of you. And if you don't have any passion for anyone or anything, I just encourage you, start praying. Because praying will change you, right? Praying will transform your heart. Get in your neighborhood, start prayer walking, prayer walk around your school, right? Allow God to start giving you passion for people. Because you won't go until you care. You just won't. God is a God of love. He is motivated always out of love, and he wants to do the same thing in us. He wants to give us love. When you start sacrificing hard to go after people, you've got to love them because you will pick your life back up off the altar when it gets challenging if you don't really love them. But then secondly, like Nehemiah, is keep yourself on that altar and don't listen to the voice of doubt. It will always come knocking, but you have a choice on whether or not you listen to it or not. Can you go ahead and stand with me? And I just want to pray over you as we close. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that Nehemiah was not special in the sense that he was not created in your image just like us. But he was a man who had cultivated tenderness and care in his heart. And God, we pray for that today. I just encourage you, go ahead and put your hands out before you and let's ask God for his heart. You have places that you go to every day. Would you begin to ask him, God, give me a heart for these people? Maybe your heart's gotten hard because of disappointment or frustration or people hurting you. Let's ask the Lord right now to release love, a fresh wave of love over us for the people that he has us around right now. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Would you deposit into us the love and compassion that moved Jesus? Would we be moved like he was by the compassion of God? Lord, may we see people the way that you see them, not according to their external appearance, not according to their race or what they are tattooed by, Lord, or by the color of their skin or what they wear, but may we be moved by seeing them as your children. Thank you, God. Give us new eyes. Give us new hearts, Lord. May we be motivated by love. And God, show us the place where you're calling us to pick up burdens, where you're wanting us to allow our hearts to be penetrated by the pain people are experiencing so that we would put ourselves on the altar as a solution to bring heaven to earth. And Lord, in those areas where maybe some of us have already stepped out and we're pursuing your call in our life, we're beginning to make disciples, but we've been slowed by the fear of man. We've been slowed by self-doubt, by that feeling of, I don't have what it takes. I'm not enough. Lord, I pray for courage today. Courage to quiet every voice of Sanballat and Tobias telling us that we can't do it. Lord, may we walk only in the fear of the Lord and not in the fear of man. Lord, I thank you. Fill our hearts with courage. Not because of our own ability, but because we have a covenant-keeping God who is on our side. Lord, may we be able to go up against the giants in our life, the giants in our society, the giants in our community, and say, I've got the God of heaven and earth that is on my side. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that our confidence would be God-centered confidence, that we would be able to run with endurance this race that you've called us to go and make disciples in every area of our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Can we thank God for Jessica? Thank her for bringing the word to us. I'm going to get you out of here in just a moment. I want to just say a few things. One, what Jessica started to bring us down toward and kind of walk us down this path, really discovering our joy. I'm sure the questions that she was going to have us ask, it's actually what we do in discovery step three. As we take time, we just had it this last week, but discovery step three happens on the third Sunday of every month. But that whole class, it's only about an hour. It's all about you, helping you find your joys, your passions, your hurts, your pain, even looking at all that stuff and really seeing how God can take all that, redeem it, so that you can be a blessing and a help to other people to bring revitalization to them. But also we take you through a whole spiritual gifts and ministries and personality tests so that you can just really see the reality of Ephesians 2:10. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that you should walk in. So you're a masterpiece. There's nothing wrong about you. And so I encourage you, step in. In fact, next week, Discovery, it's really a three-week, three-step class, and we do it every month, first, second, and third Sunday of every month. If you haven't jumped into Discovery yet, jump into it. Just give me 3 Sundays, and you'll walk through this whole process that Jessica's talking about. Actually, we've been talking about all month long and discovering our purpose, discovering who we are, and really taking those next steps to fulfill our ultimate purpose, which is to make an eternal difference in this world. So I'd love for you to be a part of that next week. It starts first, second, third, every month. It starts, you can jump in at any step. And if you can't complete it all in 1 month, that's fine. Come back 6 months later and finish it. I don't care. Just take the steps as long as it takes you. And then there's a couple other things I want to let you know about. Kevin talked about this card. It's going to be, I believe they're in the back with the ushers. You can pick this up. There's a QR code. If you'd like to give directly to the Harkins and what they're doing in New Zealand and the South Pacific, please take this card, use the QR code, go on there and give to them. And all missions giving that happens today and really throughout this whole week is going to go directly to their missions, to what they're doing. And so please, if you like to give through Revitalize, we'll be giving on your behalf. And so everything that you give to missions, to our Kingdom Builders International missions, will go to them this next week. And then you can also give directly to them. Also, there's an interest form in the very back the ushers will have. If you'd like to be a part of immersion, right? Missions immersion, or just to be a part of their newsletter and get caught up. And if you are a young adult and you'd like to be a part of that, visit their website, and I trust them. Okay, I'm vouching for them. I trust them to take care of you, to help you and walk in the call that God has for you. And then come back to Kalamazoo and help us turn this city upside down for Jesus. Okay? Amen. Or do whatever God calls you to do if it's not here. All right. But I'd love for you to come back here. Anyway, hey, before I let you go, every head bowed, every eye closed, I always want to just give this opportunity. If you don't know Jesus today, discovering your purpose, having clarity and the vision for your life, it actually starts with coming into relationship with Jesus. You can't find it apart from him. So if you're here today and you have not been walking with God, you're not in relationship with him, or you, for whatever reason you have, but you just haven't been walking with him, you haven't been in a relationship, and today you know God is calling you back home and he's saying, come walk with me, give your life back to me and let me do something with it. If that's you, all you have to do, the Bible says, is believe in your heart that Jesus did die for your sins, he rose from the grave, confess him Lord of your life, and you're saved just like that. And then you begin walking out this life of salvation after that. That's a free gift. And all you have to do is just say, God, I give you my life. In fact, I'm just going to help you with the words. Can we all just say it right now? Just say, God, I give you my life today. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for my sins. I repent from those. I turn away from my sin. And I turn to you. Be the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. and empower me to live the life that you've always meant for me to live. In the name of Jesus.